For close to 10,000 years of recorded history, and probably even before that, man has used salt as a food preservative. The Phoenician people proved to be masters in the art of salt extraction, but it was the Romans who truly exploited the processing of salt and subsequent trade in a worldwide network. The words salami, salad, sauce, and sauces all come from the ancient use of salt in cooking. A good man who was worth his weight in salt was paid in salt. And today we use the word salary to denote wages. The first patent issued by the British government in the New World was for salt production. Salt was crucial in the Lewis and Clark expeditions and is mentioned frequently in the Bible. But today, salt consumption by humans has skyrocketed, and the same things that make salt good, its ability to draw out liquids, is literally killing us. As salt consumption rises, so too are stroke and cardiovascular diseases. High blood pressure, cardiac enlargement, edema, stomach cancers, and even kidney diseases are all on a dramatic rise. Salt intake is too high in 181 of 187 countries around the world. Virtually every adult on the planet consumes too much salt. Tufts University researchers have determined with an average of 3.95 grams of sodium consumed per person per day, nearly double the 2 grams recommended every day by the World Health Organization. Elizabeth Doherty and the Food Nation Radio Network spoke with Dr. Graham McGregor, professor of cardiovascular medicine at Wolfson Institute of Preventative Medicine in the UK, about salt and why you need to immediately cut down on your use of salt, the silent killer. Here's Elizabeth.
Right now we're talking with Professor Graham McGregor. He is the professor of cardiovascular medicine at the Wolfson Institute of Preventative Medicine. Welcome to the program.
Absolutely, but thank you for talking to me.
The reason we wanted to talk with you is you've written several books about salt and about cardiovascular health. The one thing that really stuck out for me was the sometimes misleading labeling about the salt content of foods. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you know, most of our salt intake in the United States and in Europe comes from salt that's already been added to the food industry, all the stuff you buy in the supermarkets or when you eat out, fast food, canteen, all that sort of food. And of course, some of that food is labeled, particularly in the supermarkets, but a lot of it's not labeled, particularly the out-of-home sector. And you're eating unknown amounts of sodium or salt in your food. And if you eat too much salt, you get high blood pressure, and then you get strokes, heart attacks, and heart failure. So, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are dying in the United States from eating too much salt, and yet the food you're eating is not properly labeled.
So mainly we're talking about eating out at restaurants.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, obviously, the United States, clearly compared to, say, Britain, you eat out more than we do, although we're copying you. We're always about 10 years behind. But you, obviously, you know, they're not everyone eats out in the United States. Some people eat at home, or they buy stuff in the supermarket and heat it up, or some people even cook it, you know. Mm-hmm. And but even then, a lot of the ingredients already got salt in. You know, it requires a sort of PhD in nutrition and biochemistry to really know how much salt you're actually eating. It's not easy for people to find out.
Well, sure, because I've noticed when I purchase things like if we're going to make Mexican food, for instance,
yeah,
we buy refried beans for that. The refried beans have a very high sodium content, and I don't know if people even look.
No, they probably don't. And you think of beans as healthy, you know, it's a wholesome food, and yet it's had a hell of a lot of salt added to it. And this is the problem, you know. I'd also almost say in many cases it's deceptive, you know, that they're trying to sell you something as healthy and, in fact, it's full of salt.
Well, it's interesting because, to me, because you can't live without salt, but then, you know, our society has taken it to just a new level when you particularly eat fast foods. Just the amount of salt, I don't understand why so much salt is put in these foods.
You're absolutely right that, you know, we only need tiny amounts of salt. It is essential to life. We need very small amounts, but during evolution, in the last million years of evolution, we ate probably 50 to 100 times less salt than what we're now eating. And these foods you're talking about, particularly in the United States, the fast foods are stuffed with salt. And part of that is, of course, that if you took the salt out, the food would be completely tasteless because, you know, you've no idea what it's come from and it hasn't got any real ingredients in, you know. So there's another reason for not eating these foods. But in order to make them edible, they put lots of salt. Often they put sugar in and very large amounts of fat, and they get the balance just right. And then you think it tastes quite nice, but actually you don't realize you're having some very unhealthy food.
Now, is there a difference in the quality of salt?
No, okay. No, they're all the same. They're all these sea salts and rock salts and Himalayan salt. They're all about 98% sodium chloride. So there's a lot of myths about getting other beneficial minerals from salt, and it's a load of rubbish. In fact, it's a complete scam.
Really?
Pretending that some salts are more healthy than others is ridiculous because they're all about 98% salt, sodium chloride.
So salt,
you know,
is salt.
Salt's made up. Yeah. Salt is salt. Now, the only thing you have to be careful is there are things called mineral salts, which are a mixture of potassium and sodium chloride, and they are beneficial. If many of them have 50% potassium chloride, 50% sodium chloride. So if you add that to your food or use in the cooking, the effect is of the salt is mitigated by the effect of potassium, which tends to lower the blood pressure. So that's one different salt, but all the other salts are all the same. And in fact, there's a danger from them because the big crystals that chefs love, you know, the big sea salt crystals, when you put them on your mouth, on the tongue, they don't taste very salty because in order to trigger the salt taste receptor, the salt's got to dissolve. And it takes longer to dissolve. You put very fine salt on your tongue, it immediately gives you this terribly salty taste. Whereas you put the sea salt on, it tastes quite sweet. And yet, when you swallow that crystal, you've just had a huge amount of salt without even realizing it. So it's actually dangerous what chefs are doing, particularly when they sprinkle it across a salad or something, and you've eaten a lot of salt without realizing it.
I don't think chefs a lot of times think about people's health issues when they're cooking with salt.
No, but perhaps they ought to measure their blood pressure. They might find it's up.
Right.
Because they do eat. I mean, I don't know how it is in the States. Certainly in the UK, most chefs, all these celebrity chefs, are salt addicts, mm-hmm. and they, you know, because they're tasting the sort of a bit of seasoning. Instead of, instead of saying you put a lot of salt in, you add a magical thing called seasoning, which is, of course, again, is deceptive. And a lot of them are eating very large amounts of salt, and many of them will have high blood pressure. And then they get a shock when it's measured. And we all ought to know what our blood pressure is, just like we all ought to know what our cholesterol levels are, because, you know, not only shouldn't you be eating all this salt, and if you stop eating it, blood pressure will come down, but you may need to be on treatment, you know, with tablets to lower it further, because there's very good evidence that lowering blood pressure when it's raised prevents the strokes and heart attacks that it would have caused otherwise.
Now, is there a danger with consuming too much potassium to try to mitigate that?
Well, not really. I mean, if you've got kidney disease and you can't get rid of the potassium as easily as you and I can, mm-hmm. then there is a theoretical danger to it. But you have to eat a hell of a lot, and the benefits to the population are huge. So the recommendation is that we should double our potassium intake, preferably through eating more fruit and vegetables, because that has other benefits. But, I mean, my advice to, say, individuals who want to cut their salt intake is if they are using salt on the food, then it's better to use, instead of using a chemical dug up from the ground, it's better to use nothing. But if you have to use a chemical, it's better to use one of these mixtures of potassium and sodium chloride. So we're not wildly enthusiastic about it, but on the other hand, if people have to add a white chemical to their food, then that it's better to use that. And again, in some food processing, in the United Kingdom, the amount of salt that's been added to food has been reduced. We've had a whole campaign over the last 10 years. So we've reduced the amount of salt in all the foods you buy in the supermarket by an average of 30 to 40%.
That's great.
So salt intake's fallen in the UK without people being aware. And of course, this is a brilliant public health policy because you're not asking people whether they want less salt. You just slowly reduce it. everyone's got used to it. If you ask somebody coming out of a supermarket in the UK, do you know everything's got less salt in, 30-40% less salt than 10 years ago, they look at you as though you're mad, because it's been done slowly, so people don't notice. So that's a very important aspect of getting salt intake down, by just gradually, slowly changing the environment and suddenly taking it out of the food supply, but doing it slowly so people don't notice.
Well, they call high blood pressure the silent killer, and obviously would be one of the reasons why. What is your recommendation for a healthy adult as far as salt intake on a daily basis?
Well, they should eat less than 5 grams a day of salt. That's I have to convert it into sodium, which is 2.0 grams of sodium, because you talk about sodium in the United States, it's rather confusing, because salt is made up of sodium and chloride, two ions, and you only talk about the sodium. And sodium, of course, is a liquid metal that ignites when you put it in water, whereas what we actually eat is sodium chloride. So we talk about salt, but I recognize the States, it's better to talk about sodium. Talking about 2 grams of sodium a day in the United States. So you shouldn't be eating more than that.
Okay. And
clearly, there are other aspects to health. Salt is not the only thing. You shouldn't be eating all the sugar. You should be eating lots of fruit and vegetables, and you shouldn't be eating all this fat, particularly saturated fat, you know, palm oil, animal fat, and so on, because that puts up your cholesterol and causes atheroma. So, you know, you shouldn't be overweight. You should do a lot of exercise, not drink too much alcohol, and enjoy your life, and you can have really good food with less salt and less sugar in it. And once you're used to it, it tastes so much better.
I agree, and I try to mitigate my salt. I look at these sandwiches that they serve in the fast food places, and one sandwich will have 2,000 milligrams of salt, which you're saying is the entire daily intake.
Absolutely. And what you'll find is an hour to 2 hours after eating that, you'll get incredibly thirsty, because the level of sodium in the blood goes up. That makes you thirsty. And you then, of course, what happens is you then drink the Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola full of sugar, and that's a great combination to make sure you're going to get obesity, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure. So, you know,
which is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. I mean, when you look at it, the food industry, and particularly the global food industry and fast food industry in the United States and UK and other countries, is the biggest cause of death now in the world. What people are eating, all this unhealthy food, is killing them. You know, tobacco used to be the thing, but that is still a major cause of death, but it's fallen dramatically in developed countries because of all the publicity and so on. We've now got to do something about stopping people eating all these very unhealthy fast foods that are literally killing them from, you know, too much salt, too much sugar, and too much fat.
Well, there's been an advent here of healthier fast food, but I don't know if they really go far enough. And I think people would benefit greatly from reading about this subject in a book you've written.
Well, there was a book we published called Salt, Diet, and Health, which was actually a rather misnomer, but the authors are not responsible for the title. But it was about the history of salt, the social consequences of salt, and the medical effects of salt, and the importance of cutting it back. But that was published some time ago, although what it says is still very relevant to today. But maybe you should remind me, I should write another book about it, because since then we've done a lot of work on salt, and we have been successful in persuading other countries to copy the UK program. And indeed, the United States has copied it. New York set salt targets for reducing the amount of salt that the food industry added to food in the same way as we have in the United Kingdom. But unfortunately, the power of the food industry in the United States is so powerful that it hasn't allowed much action to happen, which is very sad, because as a result, hundreds of thousands of people have died unnecessarily in the United States. And if they had managed to copy the program we developed in the UK, it would have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. But hopefully that will happen in the next few years, you know. But it's a terrible problem when the power of the industry is such, rather akin to tobacco, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they were blocking any attempt to reduce smoking. And the food industry's got to get real and realize it's the major cause of death. They can make healthy food. They can still make a profit, and people would live longer. There'd be more consumers. They could make more money.
I agree with you completely. We've been talking with Professor Graham McGregor. He is the professor of cardiovascular medicine at the Wolfson Institute of Preventative Medicine in the UK. We thank you so much for joining us today and giving us this information, because I don't think this is something Americans think about often enough.
Thanks very much. Good to talk to you. Cheers. Bye-bye.